It is general doctrine, as we've seen. Sometimes it's specific instructions for the local church, and that is the case tonight. You know how we saw that there was a job description for pastors and for deacons, but God even lists here the, if you will, qualifications of widows that should be supported by the church. And it's very detailed, which is very interesting, because if you remember in Acts chapter 6, the very first church issue was over widows. That the Gentile widows felt like they weren't getting the same support. Or no, not the Gentile widows. Just some of the widows felt like they weren't getting supported as well as other widows. And so that's when the first deacons were chosen, to make sure the widows got fed. But remember, in Bible days, they didn't have the dole. They didn't have social programs. But if you didn't work, then your family took care of you. If you didn't have any family and you didn't work, then you begged. You didn't have a lot of options in Bible days. And it's still true in some countries around the world. But in the Christian community, sometimes there were widows in the church. And because of persecution or whatever, there were widows who struggled to eat. And that's what he addresses here in this passage. Then he talks about providers, specifically the head of the home. And then he talks about the younger women, all in this passage. So verses 3 to 16 of 1 Timothy 5, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. We are reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So tonight, widows, providers, and younger women. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And that sometimes it's so practical for the church. And just, I know we'll learn things tonight. Not the type of message that necessarily pricks our heart. But we still grow in doctrine. We thank you. And we commit this to you and pray you'll be glorified and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. So first we find that God gives very specific instructions to the churches regarding widows, which widows should be provided for by the church and not. Very specific, isn't it? So let's walk through these qualifications of what defines, as he says, a widow indeed. And by the way, he says it twice in this passage, doesn't he? Verse 3, they that are widows indeed. And then in verse 16, at the end, them that are widows indeed. In other words, widows that the church should take care of. So let's look at the I don't even know what word to use. Requirements. Verse 4, if she has sons or nephews, then church isn't responsible. That's what the Bible says. If she has sons or nephews, they should take take care of her. This was Bible instructions for the churches. And it says the same thing there in verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged. In other words, if they have sons or nephews that can take care of them, then let them take care of them. But now in verses 5 down through verse 10, very specific instructions. So verse 5, desolate, trusteth in God, is a prayer warrior, right? Says supplications and prayers night and day. She doesn't live in pleasure, verse 6. Verse 8, she has to be at least 60 years old. So she's under 60. The church is not bound. And have only been married one time, wife of one man, having been the wife of one man. Well reported up for good works, verse 10. Brought up children, lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, and have diligently followed every good work. So God's very specific, isn't he? That the church should step in and help widows if they're a widow indeed, according to Scripture. So isn't that interesting? That the very first church conflict was over widows, Acts chapter 6. And here God, in his word, gives probably one of the most detailed lists of people that the church are to help or not help in the Scriptures. And it's regarding widows. So isn't that interesting? And then, verse 8. God put within men, and I know the world hates it when we say things like this, but it's true. He's our creator. He put within men that when they have a family, this desire to make sure that they are taken care of. Amen? All of you men would agree. It's just there. It's part of our nature, isn't it? We want our family to be taken care of. And when it's struggling to have enough or whatever, it really is hard on us. And if we got to go get a second job, that's what we'll do. It's just there. God put it there. And he says in verse 8, if any provide not. So it's primarily talking about physical things, but it's both. You know, a father needs to be there for his family. He needs to be there. He needs to be there. He needs to give them time that they need. And if he doesn't, this is a very powerful statement. It says he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Think about what God is saying there. That a man who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Wow, that's a powerful statement. That every father and husband out there should take note. Way back at the fall, let's look at it. Genesis chapter 3, God established it this way. Before the fall, there was food in abundance. They just went and picked the stuff off the trees, and that was their food. Adam didn't have to go get a job, if you will. And he didn't have to go and farm, because everything was perfect and wonderful. But after the fall, everything changed. And one of the things that changed, Genesis 3:19, this whole passage is about post-fall. It says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. God says, now that you are sinners, now that you're going to be kicked out of the garden, here's the situation. You're going to work for your food. You're going to work for a living by the sweat of your brow. And sure enough, we get to 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If you want to turn there, we looked at this when we went through the Thessalonians. But God even gave us in his own word this anti-socialist verse. What does it say? For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he, what? Eat. I mean, you can't get any more basic than eating, right? We've got clothing, we've got a roof over our head, but we can't live without food. That's a fact. It takes money to get food. God says that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So what he's teaching us is that the head of the home, the husband, the father, should provide for his family. That's the way God designed it to be. And if he doesn't, he is worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. That's some strong words. Straight out of God's word. Amen. Then we get a detailed list, if you will, of for the younger women, which I guess technically that's anybody under 60. That make you feel better? Because, the hearing goes. We got it, Jackie. We understand. The vision goes. The hair falls out. Whatever. But it says that if they're under 60, they should remarry. God said it. If a woman's husband dies, it's God's will that she just go ahead and remarry or work for a living. But anyway, let's see what God doesn't want from the younger women. Verse 13, idleness. Amen. Idleness is a sin. We see that all through the book of Proverbs, that God does not want that, especially in the younger women. Verse 13, spending too much time going from house to house. Because if they go house to house, they're not doing it to what? Provide flowers. They're doing it to be tattlers and busybodies. Isn't that something that's in the God's Word 2,000 years ago? And it's like it was written today. So no idleness, no wandering around being a tattler or a busybody, speaking things which they ought not. Titus 3:2 is an interesting verse. Let's turn there. I've often heard people say this, but and that is that strong minds talk about what? The Lord and ideas and goals. But weak minds talk about people. Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. God says that if someone's idle, becomes a tattler and a busybody, it's just going to lead to trouble. They're going to get into trouble with their tongue. Because what does James say? Let's look at it in chapter 3 of James. Some powerful words. I mean, the infidel, that's a strong word. But how about James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. God doesn't say that about any other part of our body, only our tongue. Set on the fire of hell. So no idleness, no tattling, no busybody. What is the alternative? 14 and 15. I will, therefore, that they marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, we're going to get more detail when we get to Titus 2, but let's turn there. Titus 2:4. Talking about the younger women again. Verse Titus 2:4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, for this. I'm sorry, that's chapter 1. Chapter 2. That they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, love their children, discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We'll go through that when we get to Titus 2, but very practical passage tonight, isn't it? The widows, the head of the home, and the younger women. So speaking of the head of the home, remember, if you go to 1 Corinthians 14, we'll close here, around verse 40, around verse 30, actually. God says that the husband or the head of the home is not only to be a provider of the physical things, but of the spiritual things. Because if you take this passage in context, which is tongues and prophecy, the women are told to keep silence, which that drives the liberals crazy. But it says in verse 35, if they will learn anything, talking about who? The wives. Let them ring their pastor. That's what it says right there in verse 35. That's in the revised version. The King James says, let them ask their husbands at home. Amen? For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And that, of course, the context is authority, prophecy in tongues. So he's to be a provider of everything his family needs, even spiritual instruction. Isn't that beautiful? He's to basically be the pastor of his home in every way. So I know it's not a super convicting passage, but still it's a passage that we can learn from. The widows, the providers, and the younger women. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and teaching us more tonight. I pray that we would take these things to heart, Lord. Those of us that are the providers, those of us that are the younger women. And I pray that we as a church would always be on the lookout for a widow indeed, if we need to take care of one. And that you would have your will and way in our lives. Each step, may we follow this book.